And now, fighting out of the red corner, CagePotato.com!
Bruce Buffer, everybody! Let's hear it for him!
And I'm not going to touch that one with a 25-foot pole, Moro.
I'd like to touch it with a 25-centimeter one, but instead we'll just call the fight as now with Neon.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Yo, this your boy Kimbo Slice. Check this out. When you ain't got shit to do and you're in front of your computer, I want you to read CagePotato.com. CagePotato.com. Because tapping out is for bitches.
My name is Carl the Heat Breeze, and listen to Bum Rush Radio.
I'm Steve Velasquez, and Cage Potato is the best.
This is Jorge Rivera, and you're listening to the Bum Rush Radio Show.
We are back with acclaimed MMA reporter and two-time MMA author, I guess now. You've got your second book out, Loretta. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, and how have things been? I know you've been really busy.
First of all, Mike, it is so great to talk to you again. You and I have a history together at the Fight Network, and I'm so glad to hear about all your success at Cage Potato, a site that I frequent often to get some chuckles about mixed martial arts. When I think the mixed martial arts world is too serious, I visit sites like yours, and I think it gets me back on track a little bit, not to take myself too seriously. So thank you for that.
Appreciate it. Yeah, no, and yeah, for those that don't know, I started, I guess it would have been late 2005, 2006 with the Fight Network, and Loretta was my first editor that kind of gave me my first leg up and you know, believed in me and gave me my first opportunity. And, you know, we had a pretty good run, I think, at the Fight Network. We broke a lot of news, had a lot of interesting stories, and some big things happened before the network kind of, you know, dissolved the news network there.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say for almost a year, that was one of my favorite jobs I've had so far in mixed martial arts. So, I know, you know, some people have branched off and started Fight Now TV, and I hope that does well. I've done a little work with them. But yeah, I remember meeting you and your wife, and I'm glad to see that you're still in the biz.
You as well. And to hear, you know, that the book that's, you know, it's getting quite a buzz around it, even though it's not coming out till Thursday. Now how long has this been in the works? For people that don't know, this is Big John McCarthy's book, Let's Get It On, that Loretta helped write. It's, you know, it takes more than what people think. Some people think, you know, maybe a year start to finish, but this has kind of been in the works, and there's been the seed planted for it for quite some time. How long would you estimate, you know, the original idea right to publishing went through?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll be honest, we first started talking about this book, I think 6 years ago, when I moved out to California from New York. And I ended up living in the same town as John McCarthy, met his family and his kids, and really got involved. Our families definitely became very good friends very quickly. And we kind of put, I would say, a verbal agreement in place that I would do his book, because I would sit there and we constantly talked about MMA. MMA is John McCarthy's life. It's his family's life. So many things revolve around mixed martial arts in his life. And I think we had a verbal agreement in place about 6 years ago. John was gracious enough to wait while I wrote Randy Couture's book, Becoming the Natural, My Life in and Out of the Cage. And then once I finished that, I was kind of taking notes on John's book as I was writing Randy's book. And then I started working on the book proposal. And I think we had it on the market in late 2008. It sold officially, I think the date was either April 1st or April 2nd, 2009. And that's it. We just started working on it after that. And we were working on it till a month or two you know, before it kind of went to production. So I would say 2.5 solid years, you know, 3 along with the book proposal, which was actually the biggest book proposal I've ever written. I wanted to make sure I really had my ducks in a row. So yeah, it takes a while. It's a lot of different steps. But a lot of it's like being an MMA reporter. You do an interview about something. I would just do my interviews chapter by chapter. You know, once I had my skeleton, I went back and I fleshed it out. And, you know, John would be over my house a lot. I would be over his. I would be at the gym. I would be with him at MMA events, working on the book. Anywhere where we could find the time to do it, we did it.
Excellent. And I know, you know, you had the luxury of, with both Randy and John, you were friends with them before, you know, you started writing about them. So you knew, you know, personally, you had a personal relationship with them, knew them at that personal level. And I think, you know, even not so much talking about the books, but it's something that we've talked about in the past, is that the community of MMA, because it, you know, you started out pretty young in the sport. You're one of the first journalists. You know, we kind of have a more of a community with the fighters and with the different people in the media that is different than, you know, say baseball, hockey, other professional sports. So, you know, with things like the passing of Jack Shields today, we heard about, who was, you know, somebody that you introduced me to back in the days with the Fight Network, and I dealt with quite a bit, with Sean Tompkins, you know, guys like that. It's hard to not, you know, have relationships with these guys when they become, you know, kind of like friends with you. So do you think that's, you know, something that's going to still set the sport apart from other sports as we grow and as the sport becomes more mainstream? Or do you think that's something that, you know, was almost a one-time thing?
Right. Well, first of all, with John, I think I'm closest to him. I mean, for all intents and purposes, he became a friend of mine and also a mentor in mixed martial arts. And so when I was constantly going to and bouncing thoughts and ideas off of to make my writing better, because I think he's the preeminent historian when it comes to MMA in the United States. He's the only contemporary outside of Hoist, who I think's kind of been in and out of the sport for the last few years. He's the only contemporary who's been there since day one for the start of the UFC in November 93. And also that's the start essentially of the sport in the United States. So obviously a great asset for me, not only as a journalist, but also in my personal life and as a friend and all that. So as a journalist, I have stopped writing about him. When I was at Sherdog, stories would come in about him or leads, and I could always go with him and check with him and be like, is this true? Is this happening? And if we thought it was newsworthy, it would be passed on to another writer. I wouldn't do it. And I continue not to do that. And I also did that with Randy for a couple of years too. It was the only way I could figure out that would be hopefully the most ethical way to do it.
Certain parts of the book were written from, you know, a personal level rather than just an MMA level. Was that something that, you know, you really pushed with the book? Was you wanted to show that side of him, you know, show the side of him when he was, you know, the husband, the father, the son, the brother? Was that, you know, something that you pushed for? Or was that something that he really wanted to get out there in the book?
No, absolutely. You know, this is the way it works. I think it works with a book, especially when a person has to talk about their personal life. And let's be honest, John went through different phases with this book. There were some times where I felt John just felt, you know, why should I have a book? I'm not really worthy of it. John is a super humble guy. And that was something that I had to acknowledge, but also, you know, kind of had to get into the book somehow. And it's really hard to toot a guy's horn, but not have it come from his mouth. Not that it did come from John's mouth, but you know what I mean? Getting it in there where it doesn't look like he's boasting about all this stuff he did. So the easy way to get around that, is you just tell it what happened and you tell it as it is. And thank God for me, John, you know, wasn't an embellisher and, you know, didn't tell stories to kind of let people know I did all these amazing things in the sport. So that worked out really well. I think what the asset of our close relationship was that he felt a little more comfortable talking to me about things, I think, than obviously he would with a stranger or someone he doesn't know as well. And, you know, we could kind of talk about things on a certain level. There were certain stories we talked about that we decided not to put in the book for various reasons. There's a lot of aspects of John's life that he didn't put in the book, personal or professional, for various reasons. But there was some stuff that, as an MMA journalist, I knew were essential. So I had to kind of goad him to get him to put it into the book. So, I think having a personal relationship is definitely an asset. You know, you got to be careful too. You got to make sure that your own personal feelings about someone doesn't sometimes get in the way of capturing, you know, the historical significance of some of these events he's talking about. So, overall, I thought it was an advantage. I'm kind of a personal journalist in general. You know, I tend to, I don't know, I see these fighters as human beings. Yep. And so I tend to sympathize with them a lot. And I like to look at the whole person, not just this fighter that's in the cage. I want to know what's happening outside his life and all that, because I think it applies to them as fighters as well and is relevant. So, that's kind of my style as well. Maybe that's why I've had the great privilege and opportunity to write two books with two of the greatest figures in the sport, is because I have that type of personality, hopefully, that, you know, is able to kind of keep projects like this moving. It's not easy. We had days where I think John and I definitely didn't want to work on the book, you know, but you got to keep things moving, you know, you got to get, you know, then we had days where we were laughing our butts off, you know, at the breakfast table, drinking coffee and laughing about all these funny circumstances. And John has this great sense of humor. So I've been really happy to hear from certain people that they felt like there was some humor that came out of this book. Because I think that's a side John really doesn't get to show people too much in MMA.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, there's certain stories. I don't want to give them away because I want people to read the book. But, you know, certain stories about, you know, something that happened in the garage with him and one of his sisters growing up was one of my favorites that I really liked. You know, the story about him and his wife playing a certain game that you know, basically became the theme of their marriage, that she'd bring up, you know, when certain things happen. You know, there's lots of stories in there that, you know, give you a different side, you know, than what you see of him in the octagon or him in the cage. And I think that's what makes this a great book. You know, with Randy, it was the same too, but I think this gives, you know, I don't think people know as much about John as they do about Randy, just because Randy did so much more media and so many more interviews. And that's why I like the book. I think, you know, there's lots of interesting things. My favorite point, I think, that, you know, you kind of take for granted, is that there's certain things that happen during a fight that he's privy to, that he hears, you know, that the fighters have in conversations with him. There was a certain story that, you know, he tells about Mirko Krokop talking about what happened in one of his fights. And I thought that was, you know, right there, that he had to play not just the role of referee, he had to play, you know, almost give Mirko his confidence to continue on. I think, you know, people take that for granted, that there's a lot more to the role of a referee than just calling the fight. And I think, you know, it was one of the most, it was one of my favorite parts of the book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the Mirko Krokop thing, and I think because it's pretty current, the new fans to the sport know who Krokop is. And like I said, we made it clear in the book, John would have never talked about that if it hadn't been overheard. And it was something that Joe Rogan mentioned on the telecast, or I think mentioned in the press or something like that. So it kind of came out on its own without John. It wasn't something that he definitely didn't want to reveal what Krokop said to him. And I thought it was, you're right, there is a, you know, John is a confidant for a lot of these fighters. He just has that personality that fighters respond to, and they really respect him. And I can't tell you how many times I've stood next to John and fighters, you know, from the most famous on down to the new ones coming into the sport, have said things to John like, I'm so happy that you are refereeing my fight. You know, can I get your advice on something? You know, things like that. So John is a really, really well-respected figure to the fighters. I've never heard a fighter disrespect him in any way. In fact, I think they go out of their way to really give him credit. So those were all things that I really wanted to make sure were captured in the book somehow. But like I said, not tooting John's horn, you know? So you have to show it through the stories so people can read them and kind of make their own assessment and walk away with that.
Sure, sure. And I think, you know, another thing I noticed too was, you know, it's a pretty big man that can stand up and say, you know, I made a mistake in certain areas. And, you know, there was John took some responsibility for his fallout with Zuffa. You know, he took some responsibility for, you know, maybe some of the things that he said about certain referees' calls while he was an analyst. And, you know, I know there's not a lot of people in the world even that want to admit when they've made a mistake like that that's caused, you know, a problem between people like that. But to do it in print where it's there forever, you know, that's a pretty bold thing to do, I think. And, you know, I think when people read certain explanations of some of the stuff that, you know, there's been rumors of what's been happening behind the scenes with certain situations between, you know, certain individuals over John's career and, you know, with his whole, you know, coming back to referee for the UFC, people kind of had ideas or rumors of what they thought was going on. It kind of explains it all, which is, you know, another thing that it's good to actually hear it in his own words.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there was a lot of speculation about John and his fallout with the UFC. And I think to the best of his ability, he puts as much of that as he can in there. And like you said, he does take responsibility for some of the stuff that happened, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think he takes a lot of responsibility. I'm happy to say that even after the book, I think we finished writing it in March, just as Zuffa was purchasing Strikeforce. And at that very first Strikeforce down in San Diego, where John was already scheduled to referee, both Lorenzo and Dana were there, and I know they both talked to John. So I think the communication has opened up again on that end. So that's even more of an update past the book. But yeah, for those that really kind of want to know what the real story was, John was under a lot of pressure. And, you know, again, I'm very sympathetic to him because when John first started in the sport had a different structure. John worked for the UFC. He didn't work for these athletic commissions. And as these athletic commissions came in, John's role changed in the sport. It was, you know, it wasn't anything that he did wrong or it wasn't his fault. But in that transition, you know, things happened to John that affected his life. And John had to give up certain things and not do, things that he was already doing in the sport. So, you know, I hope people walk away with a better understanding that, you know, he started out with one role in the sport and now his role has changed because the sport has evolved. But John loves the sport so much and I think is such a good character to have around that he's been able to adapt, you know, and he's wanted to adapt. He didn't walk away. He's, you know, finding a way to evolve with the sport, which is great because I think he's still needed in the sport for sure.
For sure. For sure. Now, did you take the command course? I know that's, you know, following him for that long, you basically probably learned from osmosis, but did you ever sit down and actually take the course or have you just, you know, picked up what you've needed to just from being with John as long as you have and using him as a resource over the years?
I've sat in on the command course like for hours at a time. Like I'll sit in for 2 hours and then walk out. You know, and then go home and write the book. I've never actually taken the command course. I know I'm going to have to someday because it's here in my town and other MMA journalists have done it. And I think it's a really good idea. I better not fail it. You know, I think that would be so much pressure if I failed it. So I think I would have to psych myself up and get into a really good place, you know, where I go in at my strongest and, you know, and take John's course. But I definitely would like to, if I do have any weaknesses in my understanding of MMA, and I'm sure I do, I'm sure they'll be made very quickly and very apparent as soon as I take John's command course for the judging. I wouldn't mind trying the refereeing course too, because you actually, one part, you have to physically get in the cage and referee a mock fight with two of his fighters, essentially. And it's all about positioning. And John talks about positioning in the book. And that, I think, is so key in the book and so fascinating. I learned very early on, John has reasons why he stands on, you know, one side of the fighters over the others. And some, I know some of the other referees aren't following that philosophy because I watch them, you know, and they do some things differently than John. And, you know, of course, a lot of what John talks about and why he does stand where he does when the fighters are fighting makes a lot of sense. But during the actual command course, you have to get in there. You practice doing it, and then you have a test where you watch a fight, and they ask you all these questions, and you have to kind of referee it on your feet. But in the practice mode, I'm really curious to know if my body, like I know where to look. I know where John should be. Cause I studied John for so long. There's so many of these fights I watched and I just put all of my attention on John. Which fighter is he looking at? What, you know, why is he where he is? Okay. He just made a sudden move over to the other side. Why did he do that? I did that while I was writing the book so I could ask the right questions about John's refereeing techniques. So those that were interested in that have a little taste of that in the book, and will hopefully contact the command course and enrich their studying by going with him more through that route. But I don't know if my body would be able to do it. Like I would have to do a mirror image of what I know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, I don't even know if my body could do that. And maybe I would fail the test. But at the very least, I should definitely take the judging course.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of people that I know that have taken it and said it's grueling. And there's been a lot of people that fail. I think the success rate is only like, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, like 70%. So somewhere around, like it's not high. Like it's most of the people that take it.
I think it's less than that.
60 maybe?
60 pass. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's less. I think like 20 to 30% of them pass it.
Wow.
John, I put that in the book, John. There's, I think I put in there the percentage that pass. I think it's like 20 to 30%.
Okay.
So many of them, so many people fail.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're talking sometimes people that have already refereed fights in states.
Yeah.
They just don't pass. And John does not, you know, John tries to be taken into account where everyone's coming from, but whoever you are, if you don't pass, you don't pass, and that's it. And he would treat me absolutely the same way. Although with me, I think I would get ridiculed like you would not believe. So like I said, I'm going to wait till I'm really ready and I'll take the test.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be a study week that week. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now
for him, like a midterm.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, you talk about learning all the different techniques and different little things that you kind of take for granted watching, you know, it's like watching anything. When you have a professional in there, you kind of just assume that they're doing their job without knowing the intricacies of it. But what was something, you know, in the process of researching and in the process of interviewing John for the book that surprised you the most? You know, there's always something that comes out, you know, even when I interview a guy that you don't assume something's going to come out, something comes out that you go, wow, you know, that's something that I don't think people know about you. And it's very, you know, very interesting as a maybe even a human interest side of John, or a technical side that came out that surprised you the most.
You know, there were so many moments where I said, oh, wow, this is going to be so cool for the book. And, you know, people are going to be really surprised. You know, early on, I learned that, you know, the positioning thing where he stands on certain sides of the fighters. Early on, I learned that John has a really good sense of humor and is kind of almost the jokester, and has this secret dream someday maybe to do voiceovers. So he does like all these cartoon characters and stuff like that. So that's kind of funny. And I hope some of that humor kind of got into the book. You know, just things like that I think people are going to be surprised to read is that he helped coin the phrase mixed martial arts with Jeff Blatnick. It's what he put on his first application when he applied to be a referee. He was at the LAPD. So any extra work you do on the side, you have to apply through the LAPD for a permit. So he put down that he was going to be a mixed martial arts referee on his permit way back in 93, early 94. I think a lot of people might be surprised that he actually physically was the first one to write down some rules for this sport, which we put in the book. I think they're the original 17 rules. And I made sure they kind of got their own little box so people kind of understood how important they were. But essentially Bob Meyerowitz came to him around, I think UFC 14, 15, and said, listen, Time Warner Cable, you know, is threatening to pull us off the air and they want to see some rules for the sport. And Bob said, just write down something. Don't make it where we can't do what we're doing already, you know, but, you know, make it kind of look good. So John wrote down these rules and explained why he did it. And, you know, those are the rules that we actually built on, that the commissions ended up taking and, you know, interpreting and adding their own rules, you know, and some context when they put their own rules out in each state. So I think people are going to be really surprised to hear how involved he was in the early days of the sport. I mean, he was super involved. There were so many decisions that Bob Meyerowitz, the old owner of the OC, would come to John and ask him his opinion on. So thank God thank God John was a man who had, you know, a good head on his shoulders. He was smart. He kind of knew about this stuff, you know, before any of us knew what it was, and guided it in a direction that, thank goodness, got us to where we are today.
For sure. For sure. And I think, you know, reading the book, it's not apparent, I don't think, that you're an MMA journalist writing a book, which was probably something for you to maybe, you know, have to maybe be cognizant of, that the book isn't really just for MMA fans. You know, I talked to you before off the air about how whenever I'd put the book down, my wife would read it. And she's a fan, but she's more of a casual fan, where she knows, you know, the names of the fighters from sitting with me and watching it, but she's not a hardcore fan. But she found herself, you know, more drawn to the human interest side of the story. So I think, you know, that kind of shines through in the way that it's written. Is it's not, you know, like a typical, like you do a news story or a, you know, a bio piece that you do for when you were working for Sherdog on a certain fighter. And I think, you know, it shows that you really either had to make an effort for that, or you decided early on that this was going to be a book that was going to, you know, speak to not just MMA fans. Was that, you know, something that you kind of had to go back a few times and say, okay, well, this is getting too MMA heavy, or was that something that you just kind of kept it towing that line between non-MMA readers and MMA readers that would be reading it?
Yeah, well, I had the experience of the first book with Randy Couture, and that was something that we really, my first editor kind of brought to light. What she said, listen, you know, I know MMA fans are going to be into this book, but we have to make it also appeal to people outside of MMA. So I think I kind of just carried that into the next book. What was interesting about John's book, though, is his story weaved in and out of MMA so much that it was a no-brainer, you know, to kind of go. And at a certain point, you know, we are catering to the mixed martial arts audience the most. We had to deliver the goods. So I think it's obviously very MMA heavy, especially from those early UFCs on. You know, but John had such a heavy involvement. Like, not only was he the referee, his wife was the event coordinator for the UFC. So she was there too. And, you know, they had their interactions at the UFC together. It wasn't like he left his family and went. His wife traveled with him constantly. So, you know, you always just want to keep that balance. And hopefully we achieve that. I also tried to, we have 108 pictures in the book, which is, you know, three times as many as I had in Randy's book. The publishers were really awesome in that I just kept bringing them pictures and finding, you know, gems and things like that, and also personal photos of John with his family. He doesn't talk so much about his kids. They're in the book, but, you know, he doesn't talk a lot about his personal experiences with his kids by choice. So I supplemented that by putting in pictures, like they were families that went on vacations every year. And, so, you know, we got some of those in there and, you know, so I just tried to balance it out with every possible way I could. Pictures, stories, things like that. So hopefully it's a good balance, and it's really important. You just got to keep the narrative moving no matter what. You know, if it's a story you pick up and you read it and it's kind of boring in general, you're going to put it down. And that's obviously not our goal. Just, you know, constantly wanted to keep the narrative moving.
For sure. And I think you did that. And like I said, it's a book that's definitely worth reading. Loretta, thanks for taking the time, and it's great to talk to you again. You know, we talk, you know, a little bit here and there, but it's great to catch up, and I'm glad you're getting the success that you are. You can read the book, pick it up on Thursday. It's going to be released, and we're going to see a little bit more of Loretta coming back to probably sportsillustrated.com. And what else have you got on the go, Loretta, for anybody that wants to check you out?
Yeah, no, it looks like I'll be doing some more stuff for sportsillustrated.com, and I definitely plan to write another book. We're looking over some projects right now, and I don't think I've made the final call on what's going to be the next one, but I think I'm definitely going to do another book. I really enjoy writing books, for sure, and I'll definitely do more MMA books in the future as well, so, you know, who knows, maybe it might be another MMA book.
Yeah, or entertainment. I know you're an entertainment buff. You're into like Dexter and different shows like that. So you never know. It could be something non-MMA related and then back to what you love.
Yeah, it could be. You know, MMA will always be my first passion, and I'm not going anywhere for sure. But we'll see. You know, this has really opened a door for me, mixed martial arts, to try so many different things. And, you know, and not just in mixed martial arts, but like you said, in film and TV and other things. So I'm just really grateful. And I thank the sport. Thank you, mixed martial arts, for giving me all that you have.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks again, Loretta. And we'll definitely talk to you again. We'll have a review of the book up probably next week. And this will be up Friday morning for those people that are listening to it live. It's not really live. It's pre-recorded. So
yeah, it better be a positive review. I'm just kidding. Tell it like it is, my man.
I always do. Sometimes to my detriment, I guess.
I know that feeling. Trust me. Thanks so much, Mike. Take care.
You too.
All right. Yeah. Well, I must admit, I can't explain any of these thoughts racing through my brain.
It's true.
Baby, I'm howling for you. Something wrong with this plot. The actors here have not got a clue. Baby, I'm howling for you. Catches mid-strike too. Baby, I'm howling for you.